budget division for Thursday, April 30th will come to order. We have one bill on the agenda today, Senator Metzen. This is a really good bill, and we've got to talk about the financing in this division if you want. But
this is
what you got going here, because if this one passes, this will be your legacy.
Well, probably Mighty Ducks are pretty good. The kids, you know, we got all those little kids skating now.
We have several legacies.
Got a few, probably. Hopefully that won't come too soon, though, the legacies
exactly.
part of it. Seriously, Mr. Chairman, this is, like you mentioned, probably one of the most exciting bills that certainly I've ever carried, and carried a few over the years, but this is what I'm kind of calling the Minnesota stimulus package. We want to get people back to work. The construction industry is down about 30% to 40%. People aren't working. And this is, as I'll get into, I think is a good tool to jumpstart the economy in Minnesota. We figure, myself and the people that really know what they're doing, figure that this...
Excuse me, Senator Metzen, Forum's president.
Okay, that this stimulus package, we believe, will bring $3 to $5 billion worth of construction, and that's soon. That's real soon construction. And again, I say that's $3.5 to $5 billion worth of construction. The federal government has done a pretty good job, but their stimulus is roads, bridges, and things of that nature. This is the Minnesota stimulus we envision as a vertical stimulus to build buildings, put our people back to work, and then, like I mentioned, one of the committee, once you build the buildings, obviously somebody's got to work on them too. So this is, and what's happening, this was brought to my attention. I think do you have it in your folder on the left-hand side of that one brochure? You can see this has been about a 4.5 month project. By all the people in the left-hand corner. You can see it's a coalition of architects, engineers, business leaders, politicians, union people, and the list goes on and on. And it didn't, and that's why it's kind of a late bill, because it took so long to craft this and put it together. But we think we have a pretty good package here. It's going to cost some money. We're thinking about $100 million in the loan guarantee fund and another $3 million in the first-time home buyers fund. That'll be administered by the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. But what's happening out there, members, is the lenders, the bankers, are real skittish the last year or two because of all the things going on in the economy. So instead of putting out 80-85% like they did for the last 25-30-40 years. Now, if you're lucky to get a loan, you can go in and probably get 55-60%. And I'm telling you, that's on good cash flow projects. That's how, you know, scared they are of these things. And you can go in and prove to them that you're 90% leased out in your new building and it's going to cash flow, but they still aren't putting out the money. So this what we're doing here is putting that $100 million in an account to so-called guarantee the first, like, 20-25% of the loan. So the bankers, it would stimulate or get them to put out money like they used to do. And if in the real world, if things are perfect, you don't have to go to that account, you know. But I'm not sitting here today saying, but we do need the money put aside. And We're thinking of $100 million would do this pretty darn, it would do a good job on this. And then, and in Section 10, we're creating the federal government, as you know, is giving an $8,000 tax credit through the federal stimulus bill for first-time home buyers. We're working with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to see how we can front-end or front-load some of this money and give like a real grant up front of like $5,000 to get them into that first home, then figure out how to get it repaid from that stimulus money. And we're still working on that, but with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. But we think that would really get that first-time home buyers thing going. Yeah, and of course, this stimulus is projects, you know, for small businesses that are majority owned and operated by women, persons with disabilities, and people of color. So we've got that ingredient in here. We've got a section for bonding authority for green building projects, and it allows some local entities to do some of this bonding for green initiatives. There's a historic building rehab tax credit that's moving in the tax bill, but we're going to probably keep that in here. That's to encourage rehabbing of historic structures. I'm not sure how many states, but a lot of states already allow this, and of course we think you all agree that we ought to preserve this history stuff, and again, it's that's in tax credits. There's a low-income housing tax credit provision in here. Our section 6 through 9, our conservation improvement program. Okay. It authorizes the use of excess increments from the existing TIF districts to fund stimulus projects and allows some TIF districts to extend their terms by 10 years. So that's pretty much the bill. And hopefully at the end of the day, you folks will agree with me that we think this is a big tool in our toolbox to get jobs created, to promote development, and to get our people back to work. And it's an exciting day, and some of the folks that have worked with me are behind me here, including, I don't know, yeah, we could probably, if you can indulge us for a minute, I've got former Senator Roger Moe has been very helpful. He's a co-chair. You can see at the top left of that one document who the chairs are. And Dick Anfang, the president of the Minnesota Trades and Labor. If you don't mind, they could each give a 2-3 minute pitch on this too, and I think we should do that.
Senator Vinson, do you want to put an A7 amendment on this?
Yeah, there's an A7.
Do you want to fill in those blanks, or do you just want to leave a blank yet?
And I think we should. I think we ought to know what we're working with, and I'd like to put $100 million on that first line and $3 million to Housing Finance Agency. I've been kind of working on this money thing for a month also because of the importance of this thing, and I think we've got a commitment, hopefully, that we can get this money, and it's so important that it'll more than pay for itself, as we
know. So on line 1.4, you want 100 million?
Yep.
And what on line 1.4?
3 million, the Housing Finance Agency will fund that.
Okay, so Senator Metzen will incorporate 100 million on line 1.4, and then on line 1.8, after the dollar sign, 3 million will be incorporated. Senator Metzen, this is the first time in front of this committee, and you haven't amended this bill anywhere else yet, right? So we'll put this on. So
I think we have.
Does anybody have any objections?
To be honest with you, Mr. Chairman, we might not be done amending this. This is work in progress.
Let's just put this on there because it puts it in the form you wanted it in, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so, thank you.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen. It looks like you're putting it on following the effective date, so the effective date would not apply to this section. Well, shouldn't you put it on after line 17 on page 17 instead of 18?
Yeah, you probably caught something that I didn't catch. Does that make sense,
maybe
Counselor
Mr. Jensen could speak to that.
Chad Fuller, do you have a?
Yeah, because the effective date just applies to section 13, right?
Oh.
Okay. All right, so okay. Senator Metzen moves the A7 amendment. All of the favor of the same. Oh, Senator Jones.
Sorry, can we repeat the number?
On line 1.4 after the dollar sign, 100 million. This is of the amendment number.
Oh.
Okay. And the A7 amendment. And on line 1.8 after the dollar sign, 3 million.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roger Moe, and I'm here.
I was told that when you're a member of the House of Representatives and you retire, you're not called representative anymore, but when you're a senator and you retire, you're still always a senator.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know anything about that. I'm here as co-chair of this effort and honored to have worked with a lot of really committed individuals on this effort. I was remiss in previous committee hearings, and let me make up for it. I want you to know the outstanding staff, members of the legislature, legislative committees, state agencies that have been helpful in this effort. And I forgot to mention that in previous committees, and I want to make up for it now by saying thank you to all of them because they spent a lot of time taking our concepts and ideas and putting them into something real.
They don't get thanked enough, you're right.
You're right. In 1982, there was a candidate for governor who ran with his campaign slogan was jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, Senate file 2078 could be entitled jobs, jobs, jobs as well. This is a result of a lot of work. As has been mentioned by Senator Metzen, and I want to thank him for his efforts on behalf of this, if you take a look at that list of 60, 70 organizations along the left side of your column, they have in fact been meeting for months. It started off a small group. It grew every week. New ideas, new concern, and as such, it took a considerable amount of time. So as you can see, Senate file 2078 is a fairly high number. And so this process is an extraordinary process. I understand that. It's beyond the deadlines. But we're thankful that you're giving it the kind of attention that you are, because it's extremely important. As has been mentioned, this federal stimulus package certainly is important. It focuses on certain areas of construction and infrastructure. This is designed to complement that and do something a bit different. Also, I think it's important to note that this is project neutral. These are ideas that have been brought forth by these organizations, concepts that they think have been, for the most part, tried, true, and tested, and we think will have a significant impact and put people to work. If I might express apologies, Dave Semerod, who's with the Association of General Contractors in the state, he apologizes for not being able to be here. He has a board meeting today, but he's been with us every step of the way and helped coordinate all of this. So in closing, let me just simply say that this is an attempt to help provide stimulus to private sector dollars to get on with shovel-ready projects. For every $1 billion, it's been, I think, the jobs related to $1 billion of construction in this area is 21,000, if I'm not mistaken. And we think we can have an impact on it and would encourage you to move this along. So with that, I ask for your support and yield to Dick Anfang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Anfang. I have the privilege of being the president of the Minnesota State Building and Construction Trades Council, representing approximately 60,000 union tradesmen and women in our state. About 2 years ago, things started slowing down. And being the president of the building trades, you look at your house and you say, boy, this is not good. So you're looking at your house and you see what's going on, and a little more time, and it just kept falling and falling and falling. To the point where we're at today, our membership is between 35% and 40% unemployed. Those members of ours that are fortunate enough to be working, many, many of them are working short weeks. And there's literally, their contractors are telling them, there's not much in sight. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, that was in our house, and then About 4 months ago, three and a half, 4 months ago, I got a call from John Herman, who was a real estate attorney, and a friend of his who was an architect, and Commissioner McElroy. They asked me to come over to Minneapolis and meet with them to talk about it. And here, I gave them my story. It was hard to believe that within, they are construction related, and their unemployment rates were similar or higher in their specialties of construction. So the very next day, I get a call from Dave Simmerad and a couple of major contractors who want to talk about the situation. The same deal. What can we do about it? What can be done? Well, the result is the bill. And the way we got there, as it was said earlier, we just continued to grow, and people, it became astounding to me how many people are involved in construction in the state of Minnesota. About 10 to 12% of the state's economy depends on the construction industry and the people in it, from all professions. And they all came together and had some great ideas about things that could be done that weren't being done, and different ways of doing business. The world has changed a little bit, so we had to think of new ways to do things. And we had quite a few, but some of them early on we found out wouldn't work. And in discussing it with people that help craft legislation and looking at realities, we came up with the bill that you have in front of you, which is items that we believe can really stimulate vertical construction across the board and across the state. The vertical construction industry is just dying right now, and we need some help, and we believe this is the way to do it. And we'd appreciate your support on this. As Senator said, we may have to amend it again or change it as we go down the road. But the coalition has worked very hard, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Hankbeck. I think these are extraordinary times, and extraordinary action needs to be taken. And this is one of those things I think is extremely necessary. I think we got to work our way out of this recession, and we got to create jobs. And this, along with what I think should be a big bonding bill, would help a lot with shovel-ready jobs. And, I'm ready to support jobs. That's what I'm ready to support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Metzen, for bringing this bill forward. I think you're entirely right that we need to be doing something to stimulate jobs, and looks like you've gotten some good advice from some wise people about how to put the bill together. But I just have a couple of questions. I'm wondering about on line 3.13, it says no more than $50 million may be guaranteed on any one project. Does that mean that half of the $100 million we're talking about could go to one project, or is it the cost of that guarantee, which would be something a lot less?
I think I'll have the experts, Chairman, Madam, Senator Olson, to kind of explain that. But I think those are leveraged amounts, but I'll let Bill and Bill Griffin and John Herman.
And then, Mr. Chair, while they're answering that, to the second question I had is just how soon might this money possibly be available? And I hope it would be sooner rather than later.
Well, that's a good question. The idea behind this whole thing, trust me, is speed, and to get these projects going. And we think we can get them going in the next couple of months and get a lot of things going. And I mentioned earlier, I'll mention it again, the numbers I've seen, some confidential numbers, by the way, I think we can get soon $3 to $5 billion worth of stuff going in the next few months. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll let Bill and
John like to address Senator Olson's question about the
$50 million.
The 50
yes.
million.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you again for this opportunity to present this bill along with Senator Metzen. The idea with
say your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Bill Griffith, Larkin Hoffman, with the coalition. The idea behind the loan guarantee concept is truly a credit enhancement that leverages several projects, many projects. And so the The idea is that the money would be in a pool and create credit for projects that need 10-20% additional equity to close. And so that $50 million cap is on any one project, but actually the $100 million could leverage many projects, 10 projects, 20 projects, depending on how others, what we'd like to do is have the state's commitment be leveraged to get, say, U.S. Bank's commitment and McKnight's commitment and others. So really, hopefully this pool is $300 or $500 million when it's all said and done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I understand that there would be the hope to leverage all that additional money, but I'm still wondering if $50 million of that $100 million, the way this is written, could go to just one project.
No, it could not. And the reason is, let me back up and explain what's happening with some of these projects. So a project that was ready to go, say, September of last year, and it had a loan-to-value ratio of 80%, okay? So the partners, equity investors, had to bring in the last 20%. That would be pretty typical. Today, that ratio for the same project that cash flows, it's a good project, is more like 60% or maybe 55%. And so you need the credit enhancement to get back up to the ratio that makes it viable. And so you would be essentially, with that credit device, that loan guarantee system, you would be lending credit for one project. But you could lend on at a ratio, John, of what, 10 to 1, perhaps? I mean, the banks and the lenders have to look at this, and certainly finance and others. But so you then get a leverage of 10 to 1 on the loan guarantee money, and you're only filling the last 10 to 20% gap. And so that's why $100 million or $200 million could do 20, 30, maybe 40 projects, depending on how it plays out, because of the leverage factor. And that's one of the benefits of this stimulus package is really intended to stimulate private construction using mostly private dollars. I don't know if that helps or adds more confusion, but.
Let me just mention, Mr. Chairman, that Senator Olson and others, I've seen some confidence, you know, you can understand why these things can't be public, but there are projects all over the state, which I look geographically, which is pretty, you know, pretty good. They're not, it's not a metropolitan bill, so I just want my rural friends to know that this is a statewide significant leverage we have going here.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Metzen, and construction industry is very important to my district, as you probably know, not just for the construction itself, but secondarily because of, you know, the forest products industry cuts the wood to provide the lumber for the construction. And a lot of that industry has been really devastated, and we've lost a lot of jobs in the forest products industry. And I'm just wondering, theoretically, if this could be used in a related but indirect way. You know, if someone wants to come and, say, for example, purchase one of those plants that's been closed, they might have the same problem with credit, and yet it's not necessarily construction that they need to do. It might just be more the purchase rights or a new owner taking over or something. Is there some flexibility in this, or could we work on some language that might relate to something like that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the bill as it's drafted, my name is John Herman. I'm a lawyer at Fagree & Benson. Bill and I have worked with Senator Metzen on drafting many of these provisions. The bill as drafted wouldn't provide for a business acquisition loan fund. It only provides for partial guarantees of loans with respect to actual new construction. I mean, the question you have is, I think, a symptomatic of the problem generally in the credit markets. You know, we've got dozens of projects that a year or two ago would have been viable and would be under construction now. Rental housing, senior continuous care retirement communities, in certain places, hospitality, institutional for medical office and that kind of thing. And because of the declining loan to value ratios that are available now, or because some sectors are totally not functional. For example, 501c3 bonds for nonprofit developers of senior housing. There is simply no marketplace at all for these bonds right now. And so trying to create devices that make the projects more financeable has been kind of the hallmark of what we were trying to do. To do business acquisition, I suppose, would be a different and additional thing to consider, but not directly in the scope of what the coalition came up with.
Chairman, members, one ingredient, I don't know why I didn't mention it, one section of the bill deals with senior living and senior housing, but that money too has dried up, and you only know that our senior population, the baby boomers and that, and the need for some put money in that area is going to be covered under here too, so we're going to address that in this bill. Is that correct, Mr. Hall?
We had a draft of some sections on that. We're still talking to the housing, Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, we're still talking to the Housing Finance Agency about that and whether it's workable or not, and they've had some concerns, but we're going to try to see if we can come up with something working collaboratively with them to assist with that financing area.
Senator Polk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Metzen, thanks for the bill, Senator Metzen. I think there are some good things in this bill, and I appreciate bringing forward. I think that the construction industry has been really hurt in this state and most states. We see that. I have a new sink going into my house today, and I was talking with the plumber this morning, and he had he was a small business owner with a really tough story to tell and hard to listen. So I thank you. Senator Olson brought up some wood products that had also been hurt in this. We talked, two days ago in Business and Jobs about car dealerships and those empty buildings and what could be done about that. The list goes on and on. And so while I appreciate I appreciate what's in this bill, I think that to not have a bigger discussion about what's been going on also in the Senate, it's like we're missing the forest for the trees. And a $2.2 billion tax increase with commercial industrial property tax increases, work where we're taking money from the Workforce Development Fund and then just saying, well, we're just going to increase that tax on businesses. We continually attack business in this state with taxes. And then, we try to do, these things, which I don't disagree with some of it, but we should also be really looking at the big picture, and that's so thanks for the bill.
Yeah.
But let's think also very broadly in what we're doing in business in the state of Minnesota.
Any other comments or questions, Senator?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, I'm a little bit confused about the mechanics of it. We're putting $100 million in there, and are we doing that as a loan or as a guarantee to the loans the banks are getting? Because it's called a guaranteed loan, and then it's kind of described as a loan. So I'm just, could you just explain how the mechanics of it works?
Go ahead. That's me. I think the way I understand it is it's a pot of money set aside in a separate guaranteed fund. And you, Mr. and Mrs. Banker, put out some money, and we'll come along as a state and say we'll guarantee 25% of the project. And if nothing goes wrong in the world, like the loans they used to make a couple of years ago, we assume they're going to be good deals. I mean, And maybe there won't be any of that money extracted. I don't know. But I that's not realistic. I suspect there'll be some defaults. But we're not going to lose $100 million, but we're going to gain so much by these projects and the income tax the people pay and the sale and all on and on and on. So that's kind of how I think it works. Yes.
I think I understand that part, but is the $100 million, the 10 or 20% that you're talking about, is that actually leaving the account to go to the...
No.
It just stays there.
No, we say to that, the way I understand it, that's an excellent question. We say to Mr. and Mrs. Banker, you put out 60%, and you put out 85%, Mr. Banker. The 60% is your deal, and the 25% you're putting out, but we're going to guarantee that part of it. Because in the past, they'd give out to 60 or 80, and now everybody's like this, we can't do anything. So that's what that, this would be a backfill, and we could lose some deals. But hopefully the bankers will make a conscientious good decision,
Senator,
for things that cash flow.
It was just whether or not the money was leaving there, or whether it was leaving only if
Senator Vanderveer. Oops, go ahead.
We can count on the bankers making a conscientious decision. I have the bill. I have a question on the bill, though, if I could, from the author. The findings portion, page one, is that, you know, the legislature finds, you know, 120?
Oh, you mean, Mr. Vanderveer, like, it's been our decision around this building not to put in findings, is that what you're...
Well, some people's decisions, I know they're, I think they kind of, I feel they kind of distract from...
I'm not married to any of that finding stuff, but that's just kind of telling you how tough times are, I guess. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, and if we can work on that, if you'd like us to take it out later.
Okay. Any further comments, questions, discussion? Seeing none. To Senator Olson's earlier question, Senator Metzen, do you want to make this A7 amendment effective immediately upon enactment?
I believe that's a good suggestion.
Senator Olson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank
Senator
you.
Senator Olson would move to amend the A7 amendment to say that the Section 14 is effective immediately upon enactment.
Got it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Mr. Jensen, you have a couple of technical things. Up, Senator Dibble.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention a couple of things quickly, and then I just had a quick technical question. Let me start with that. Maybe there's a council or two folks who helped write the bill. I was looking at line 10.28, long-term commitment to low-income housing, where it says... that means an agreement between the taxpayer and the agency or sub-allocator substantially similar to the agreement specified in 42H6B of the Internal Revenue Code. What that
means. Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, Section 47 of the Internal Revenue Code is the section that governs federal low-income housing tax credits. The concept of this is to piggyback a state tax credit onto the federal low-income tax credit and require the identical kinds of compliance in terms of amount of low-income housing, 15-year duration of the housing commitment, 10-year tax benefit, and to try to do, in effect, three things with the state credit. One, obviously, just raise the money to fill the gaps on these projects, many of them going back to 2007 credits, which haven't yet been started because of the gaps that exist. Second, to energize a Minnesota buyer pool of Minnesota corporations. I think we all feel that there are a disproportionate number of large and civically committed corporations here that could take advantage of the credit, but haven't historically been buyers because the banks have been the primary buyers in this area. And then third, to create a actual industry of selling the credits that's local with our brokerage industries in the state. Most of the credits are now sold by national pools, and this would give a reason for doing it at the state level. So there will be some amendments to this section. Again, MIFA's been working with us, Housing Finance Agency's been working with us on it. But the basic concept is to mirror the requirements of the federal law for the state credits, so there's not a lot of different and duplicative requirements or record keeping or different procedures.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Great. Well, I'd love to get a little more detail at some point along the way from whoever's an expert. The reason I kind of narrowed in on this is because talks about the long-term commitment to low-income housing required, which is great. And I just want to be sure we're not going to run into situations that have cropped up recently where developer develops low-income housing with public funds, or, you know, is part of a larger development, you know, and enjoys the benefit of public financing, and then pays off their mortgage early and takes out a bunch of people, you know, so they can convert those units to market rate long before it was ever understood. That was ever understood to be the case, and people are out housing A and B, and so then, you know, we're kind of back to square one, and after we have expended some public resource. So that was kind of my interest. And then just to Senator Metz, and I'm loving lots of parts of this bill. I'm loving the municipality energy conservation improvements stuff that we see in section 6 and 7, on page 11, and again on page 13. One potential improvement to the bill would be to try to get the utilities in on the action a little bit, by letting them participate. They've got lots of dollars, and they've got the 1.5% energy savings requirement, so they're significantly bolstering their conservation improvement program. They've got money to spend, so to the extent that we can complement some of these with utility resources.
That's a pretty good suggestion, Senator Dibble. We should. Can you get them involved tomorrow?
Yeah,
today?
Right. I think that they're involved.
Thank you. Mr. Jensen has a few suggestions.
Mr. Chairman,
only if they're good ones.
On the amendment A7, on line 9, it says 2012. I believe it should be 2010 also. On line 1.9,
is that meant to be?
Senator Metzen.
Is that all right? I guess that works.
Okay, members understand that? Mr. Jensen.
On page 2 of the document, under the loan guarantee account, it limits, somewhat limits what can go into the fund. If you want the money received from any source into the fund, you could add that. So on line.
Mr. Chair, Senators, I think that would be a good idea. Our desire is to go to private sources to match the state's commitment, and so we wouldn't want to restrict who can put money into the fund.
Mr. Chairman, on line 2.29, strike the and on line 2.30, after the number 9, put a comma and say, and money received from any other source. Chairman, there's a small change in the language on page 3, on line 313, where it says no more than $50 million may be guaranteed on any one project. It was suggested to change that to strike no more than and insert a guarantee may not exceed $50 million on any one project.
Senator Metzen, are you okay with that?
I think that's fine. I think it probably clarifies it just a little bit.
All right. Members understand that's all one oral amendment. On the Senator Metzen amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 2078. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. The motion prevails.
Thank you very much. We got an exciting
full finance, the full finance
program going.